relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Welcome, dear friends, to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist of President Trump, member of the Pentagon's National Security Education Board. We are delighted to always have guests of opportunity, a special guest when they come to the swamp. We grab them as soon as we can to get them in our new studio. Let's show them the wide shot, camera four. Come on, everybody. Let's show them what Salem has done for us. And it's none other than Morgan Zegers of Young Americans Against Socialism. Morgan, thank you for popping by.
Thank you for making the time.
All right, so congratulations are in order. On Friday, an hour before you arrived, you signed your contract with us, with Salem. So you are the freshest member of the Salem faculty and the newest podcaster.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an honor. I've been having a personal podcast for the last year, talking about politics, current events, and culture, specifically from a young conservative woman's perspective. So I'm really thankful that Salem would want me to join in.
We're super excited. You are a high-energy social media individual, but you also do heavy stuff like your analysis of the Federalist Papers. We're going to talk about all of that. I don't want to waste time with your story because I always ask you to tell it when you've come on the show before. So in a nutshell, you met somebody at college who was a communist, kind of blew your mind. What do I say to a communist who's an American living in America at college? That's how you decided to better your understanding of how to communicate the evils of this ideology. Tell us, I want to ask you first a personal question. How long have you been doing this? So when you decided to, be a young American against socialism, was how many years ago?
I started the organization in 2019.
Okay.
And I have been working for the last few years to fundraise and build a reputation and an audience around this concept of interviewing survivors of communism and socialism. And I'm really excited because actually June 12th was the release of our first episode that was long form. I've been doing a lot of guerrilla style social media tactics where I've been doing selfie videos with survivors and whatever I could really with my capabilities. But we finally film in Dallas in a very professional studio surrounded by historic artifacts, long 1 to 2 hour conversations with people from around the world. So it's really exciting, and that's on a channel called The Freedom Records. Every week there's a new episode.
Last week, that's The Freedom Records. Please follow this lady, Morgan Zegers, on Twitter, morganzegers.com, also the latest Salem podcaster. We'll talk about the other thing as she does, but last week I was at the inaugural opening of the Victims of Communism Museum here in Washington, D.C. Congratulations to Lee Edwards, to Ed Fullen, and everybody else. The Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation took them 30 years. They were told, you'll never do it. You'll never open a museum in downtown Washington to the victims of communism, but they succeeded. I am absolutely convinced that your approach is the right one. Yes, we have to catalog everything. We have to tell the historic stories of the 100 million people killed in the name of Karl Marx. But it is the personal stories of the victims that really have the greatest effect. But the story or the question I'd like to open with is, given you've been doing this for 3 years right now, you're very young, you don't have personal experience of suffering through communism. Have you paid any personal price? I mean, I'm used to the attacks every day on Twitter and elsewhere. As a young American born in America who's very vocal, who's outspoken with your love of liberty in America, what's it been like for the last 3 years?
It's been a little testy, but at the same time, I love it. It's invigorating. I believe in having mental stimulation constantly. And so I also believe education is a lifelong concept and journey. And so to be able to provide people educational opportunities to deepen their understanding of what's happening, I hate to say it, I'm a bit selfish with it, but yes, I want to honor their stories. I also want to use them so that we can prevent this from happening in our own country. I am so worried about the future of America. And so what I'm really excited about, though, is that this isn't really political. This has been more so me trying to get these shows produced and put out there so that we can partner with things like homeschool pods, charter schools and charter school networks, homeschooled parents that are doing this and just want to make sure they're educating their kids. So that's very fulfilling for me. And at the same time, all of the stressors may be considered worldly problems. And so I'm very rooted in Christ, and I just keep it very simple like that.
You mentioned before we went live a very fascinating thing. So we're working here at America First to go down in the demographic. Talk radio has a certain demographic. We want to reach a younger generation. You're seeing a reverse phenomena. You're getting more and more listeners to your podcast from who? What kind of demographic?
Well, so my demographic has always been political. I mean, I run a nonprofit called Young Americans Against Socialism. So when I first entered the movement, I don't know if you knew this, the Tea Party Patriots invited me to speak in front of Capitol Hill my first week.
Wow.
So I don't know if they didn't realize, oh, she's never spoken before. But it was like, it was me, Mark Levin, Ted Cruz,
oh,
all just standing
gosh.
In the green room. And I'm just going... It was very funny. And so that put me in the political space. But at the end of the day, I'm very much about lifestyle, culture, religion, and most importantly, homeschooling and homesteading. I'm very into that. I'm more of a country bumpkin.
You've got to stop putting these videos on Instagram of you at your latest homestead cabin, because everybody thinks you've bought 12 of them already. These are just your fantasies, right?
Well, I tour the country looking for my homestead
property. And then you film it as if you own it.
Yeah, I'm trying to inspire. Do you know my following is all young women? I'm trying to inspire them to want more than what the culture puts onto us these days in society. But my audience has always been political. I'm more of a lifestyle culture person. And so now that we have these educational resources with the survivors and with American values trying to teach kids, it's really opened me up to very concerned mothers and educators and community-focused people that weren't really interested in politics until the government lately, over the last few years, has started to encroach on us and our children.
Give us a sense of the environment in which you operate, because you're very good on social media, the little videos you do on the Second Amendment, on how you're also always carrying the homesteading lifestyle, the cultural stuff. But in an age where, you know, Kim Kardashian is an influencer of massive proportions in more ways than one, how do you see it? Do you see it as an uphill battle when you want to go back to traditional values, homeschooling, homesteading? Do you feel like you're in a sea and you're just treading water when you're looking at the hedonistic, shallow cultural influences around you?
I try and look at this sometimes, because sometimes I'm worried I'm in a bit of a bubble. I really do think I'm going to normalize to radicalize all the young women of America, and I'm going to show them that there's so much more out there than what society and the culture is currently selling to us. I mean, you can look up hookup culture. They tell us it's going to be empowering. But when you look at the hormone studies, the basic science of that, or the science and the hormones that are connected to childbirth and abortion, all of these are straight up lies, and it's damaging young women. I personally believe that we don't raise up young girls and young boys to take on their societal and primal roles in society anymore, and it's partly why we have such mental health issues in the country. So I really try and just show my day and show that there's a healthy way to have a healthy and wholesome lifestyle. That being said, sometimes I think I'm making a difference, and then I enter a conversation with a normal young person. I'm 25, and I'll meet normal young people, and I hear what they say. I hear what they're doing on the weekends. I see what they're posting on social media, and I go, wow, we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
A lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. What about the catch-22 of being on social media so much?
Yeah.
Is that not also potentially counterproductive?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a conversation I have with a lot of people, because people go on social media to share their personal lives. I use it as a marketing platform. I market my flags, I market my nonprofit, and I market a certain lifestyle because I want young girls to be inspired and take that on and those values. But then I get right off, right? And so to me, it's a business thing, it's a media marketing thing, and then I get off. Unfortunately, people are encouraged to share their personal lives. A lot of people ask me about dating, and they ask me, I can't believe Morgan Zegers is single, or I can't believe XYZ, or how come you don't show your family? It's because it's not a personal thing to me, and we need to have a better balance of that instead of just scrolling.
She mentioned her flags. That's one of hers. It's the biggest one they've ever made, beautifully made by Morgan and her family. Yes, I know it's sideways. Okay, guys, chill out. It's not a real flag. I'm not breaking flag protocol. If it were made of fabric, I get it. It's made of wood. You can't flip it around, okay? It's not made like that. But we will get a replacement that's the other way around, just to relax you guys. But in the meantime, support this lady. This is how she funded herself through college. Zegers. freedomflags.shop. They've got Second Amendment ones. They've got fabulous antique ones, older kinds of Betsy Ross ones. I have
four of them, I think. I have a lot of them. They're so good. ZegersFreedomFlags.shop. That's Z-E-G-E-R-S. ZegersFreedomFlags.shop. So many other things to discuss. If you enjoy one-on-one as much as we love providing this program to you, make sure you don't miss a second of our programs. You can watch us live. The streaming is on Rumble. But if you go to Spotify, you can subscribe for free. Just plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Do write us a review. It helps with those dastardly algorithms. Share the links with everybody you know and guarantee for yourself that you never, ever miss a moment. This is long form. This is unlike TV where you get, you know, 3 minutes to discuss a weighty issue that deserves much more time. Here we sit down for an hour with the newsmakers, with the true experts. Go to Spotify.com and plug in America First Sebastian Gorka. If you haven't done so already, be sure to register for our Stand With Israel tour. We are going to the Holy Land with my superb Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife for 10 days later this year in November and December. We're going to literally walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh D'Souza. Please register today. They've completely dropped all their restrictions. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going. Reserve your places. Call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. StandWithIsraelTour.com. StandWithIsraelTour.com.
Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code G-O-R-K-A. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
You mentioned the transgender issues. Have you looked into... I'm going to play a shocking video momentarily, but it seems as if most of the victims of this abuse, and it is abuse, it is mutilation, whether it's hormone therapy, double mastectomies, whatever it is the abuse of children, and it is demonic, it is evil. The vast majority of all of these cases are young girls. Now, why is that? Why is this a function of the clique system with teenage girls? Is it peer pressure? Have you thought about why it seems to be less boys who are being forced to quote-unquote transition, but it seems to be a group dynamic amongst young girls?
Actually, it's interesting that you ask that, because my friend Alex Clark, she hosts a show called The Spillover. It's kind of pop culture and conservatism combined. And she did an episode talking about how this is similar to the previous trad concepts that young girls had supported a couple decades ago, which were bulimia,
anorexia,
the desire to be so skinny. And that really is what was the concern for young girls and their minds, their mental condition at the time. And now it really is this trans issue. What's interesting, though, is with these survivors from communism, I was talking to one from communist China who was trained in the Red Guard during the Cultural Revolution. And she said that they had similar creation of chaos put down on us by the government, or put down on them by the government. And it was intended to tell women that they couldn't be feminine anymore, that that was bourgeois.
Wow.
Yeah, and it created chaos. It made this unisex. It removed societal
roles. So androgyny
was
approved by the state, but being feminine was bad.
Yes, and so it took out those gender roles, and it made the same kind of chaos we're seeing today.
Let's play this shocking clip. This was sent to me by a Salem colleague on Friday. I have nothing else to say except Fox is gone.
Rylan Whittington, whose journey of transitioning at age 5 has been seen by 7 million people in a family YouTube video. Brian Yenis has a story about that family that hopes their experience can help others. Watch here.
If you saw me walking down the street, you wouldn't think anything different.
14-year-old Ryland Whittington is a typical Southern California teenager. And the Whittingtons, along with mom Hillary, dad Jeff, and sister Brinley, are a typical family. The only difference, though, in Ryland's eyes, is what this family can mean to the tens of thousands of kids under 18 who identify as transgender.
We put our story out there so people could see that, like, there's another family out there that is going through what we're going through, or there's another family who's proud of who they are.
Before Ryland could even speak, he managed to tell his parents that he is a boy.
I could just see it wasn't for him to be a brat. It was, like, painful. It was truly painful for him to have to wear feminine clothing and for us constantly telling him that you're a girl.
So that's Fox, the erstwhile conservative cable giant that for Pride Month is celebrating a girl being mutilated and turning into a pretend boy. You can react however you wish to that, Morgan. I would just say that I believe, and have done for some time, that perhaps this is the most important issue we have that will help wake up America to what is happening.
I would agree. The left is taking this to our children, and it's crossing a line. It's interesting. I spoke at Colorado School of Mines a couple months ago, and I showed up to speak about history because I love history and this is my work. And there were 40 students outside protesting me for being transphobic.
That's not bad. 40.
I was like, oh, they're here for me. Wow. And they had these posters saying that someone was there who was against human rights. And they had clips of me that they were referencing, just talking about protecting women's sports and objectivity. Basic truth in science. And so after that, what I found, what was most disappointing, is there were some boys there in the crowd. And they came up to me after, because I had addressed the protesters, and they had said something along the lines of, I just don't know why you care about this so much. It's just women's sports. It's just a woman's bathroom. It's just whoever, how they want to identify. And to me, it's everything. Yeah. Objectivity is everything. We have to have a basis of truth to agree on. And it's highly disappointing for me to see boys and men reject their role in this conversation, just pass it off to the women to handle protecting their own sports.
Well, this is massively important. Charlie Kirk's made this point, and I've been harping on it ever since. It's this fake girl, Leah Thomas, who has crushed the dreams of I don't know how many real girls, real athletes. And when he gets into the water, there are fathers in that stadium sitting on the bleachers. Mm-hmm. And as Charlie said, they should all stand up, mm-hmm. not be violent, but they should make a human wall around the pool and say, that man does not get in the water with our daughters. But it's not happening, Morgan.
No, they're listening to the feminazis of the world, of the country, telling them that they don't belong in this or in the conversation of abortion. And so I think it's important for men to stand up in these conversations. They need to have their own place in this as well, and they need to be leading it, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely shocking. But do you agree with me that this could be the catalytic issue for so many Americans to have the scales fall from their eyes?
I do. Libs of TikTok is my favorite account on social media.
She's been on the show.
And the fact that it started as, oh, we're just going to share some of the crazy stuff they post, and then it turned into, wait a second, these are teachers, these are educators, yeah. These are kids who are having private time with our children, and this is what they're teaching and they're proud about it, that changed the game. And so I'm glad that they think that they are cocky enough to expose themselves in this way, that they won't get in trouble. I'm glad they get fired. I'm glad they get removed from classrooms. That's what needs to happen, and I think that's what the spark is.
All right. She has so many places you can find her. She is a contributor to Turning Point USA. Her website is morganzegers.com. She's at Morgan Zegers as well. The Freedom Record is the new product, the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism, but most important of all, she's the newest podcast host here on the Salem Network. Dear friends, if you haven't seen it yet, it is the most powerful, the most successful political documentary in more than a decade. More than 1 million downloads in the first 6 days. We have mailed out more than 100,000 DVDs. It is the proof positive of how they stole the election. You've got to see Dinesh D'Souza's film 2000 Mules. I have a vested interest in this movie because it's so important. It will change political reality in America. Share it. Buy it for your friends. Send them DVDs. This is the factual basis to petabytes worth of data, more than 4 million minutes of CCTV coverage from the battleground states of how they stole the election. Go watch it today. Order it at salemnow.com. The movie, produced by Salem Media Group, is 2,000 Mules. Get it today. salemnow.com. salemnow.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Let's transition to another topic. You have been doing some sterling work in the realm of history on the Federalist Papers. Now, you kind of, I'm annoyed. I'm truly annoyed with you because I spent the last 2 months reading the Bible onto audio, so I never even mentioned, I don't know why, it's just kind of a passion project for me. So wow. you can hear the whole New Testament. There's a separate podcast, it's called Getting With God, absolutely free. Go and find it wherever you get your podcast, Getting With God, the whole New Testament. Now I'm going to start the Old Testament. But about 3 years ago, I said, you know what? I need to do this with the Federalist Papers. And I never got around to it. I'd started with the Bible instead. And then she, how dare she, stole my thunder. But I don't think you read them out. You commented on them. Mm-hmm. Reinforce for all of our millions of listeners why you, Morgan Zegers, sat down and thought, it's important to discuss these documents from two centuries ago.
Yeah, well, actually, I give a lot of credit to Turning Point USA because I am a member of their team. They have a huge umbrella, basically, and I'm the history person there. They've got a gun girl. They've got a pop culture person. They've got a sports host, and so I'm the history person. And they came and they said, we have this idea for Freedom Papers. What if you went through all the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers? And so we're on 32, I think, at this point. And it's been a blast. And first of all, most young people, even the Turning Point USA people, had no idea what really the Federalist and Anti-Federalist ratification debate was. Most Americans have no idea what it was. I studied government and communications in college. I read two of the Federalist Papers, 10 and 51. Right. And so it's really a shame that we don't know this, but in my personal opinion, to see how they had this debate. Sometimes they're feisty, sometimes they're cordial, and they address so many issues that we're facing now.
Exactly.
It's important to understand the original intent and how far we have drifted from those initial goals.
Where can people find that?
So that's all podcast platforms and tpusa.com/freedompapers. It's a blast.
And you're the history gal for mm-hmm. Turning Point USA. You said they've got a gun gal as well. But you like your guns too.
I do. That's the thing. I'm not exactly a professional when it comes to guns, but I do go to the carry my Glock 43X all over the place. And that's because I'm 5 feet tall. You've seen me next to you. 5 feet tall. I weigh 115 pounds for transparency.
And you need the equalizer.
I call it my equalizer because it is safety. I can't imagine going in public without it. Yeah. I'm in D.C. right now, and I'm not exactly a fan of how I feel going out. It's not very nice. I'll say that.
You can get a carry permit here, too. I have one. I'll hook you up with the people who can help you there. We're talking to Morgan Zegers. Follow her on all platforms and listen to her new podcast here on the Salem Podcast Network. You're talking about safety. Have to get your comments to what we've witnessed in just the last few days here in the United States. So mm-hmm. the idea that a Supreme Court justice living within a stone's throw of the Capitol mm-hmm. has a Californian roll up to his house at 2 a.m. with a gun, with a knife, with a crowbar, with a hammer, with ammunition, with zip ties. And the only reason the attack didn't occur is because he gave himself up. People don't know this. He actually had a moment of clarity and the potential assembly police from outside Justice Kavanaugh's home. The fact that the establishment And I blame both sides of the establishment to a certain degree. The left is doing nothing. Attorney General Garland is doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And then, for example, for the justice living in Virginia, the governor of Virginia has done nothing. My apologies. Governor Youngkin has written a letter to the Department of Justice. As an American born in America, we should be worried, shouldn't we?
We should. Basic safety is really important. We've been talking about this whole time, but looking back at history, when the left rises to power, yes, they want to seize the means of production in the economy, but what they also want to do is, in a more stable country like this, with a solid foundation of founding documents, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, they want to upend the system. Our system of checks and balances and our slow-moving system is exactly in that place to prevent radical uprisings at a rapid pace that are rooted in emotion and unfortunately, the left is succeeding in convincing Americans that it's necessary anymore. And so how convenient and ironic that they would want to remove the things that are in place to stop them from getting too much power in the first place.
Do we understand as conservatives how they use emotion and how we could use it? Because we tend to deluge our listeners with facts.
That's what's unfortunate. I think with social media and the way that you can make money online, the way that you can audience, it's to be angry and mean.
Yeah.
But I would say that people are getting a little frustrated with that. And that's why my audience has been growing over the past few years. It's because people want an honest opinion and approach to it. I don't know about you, but I've been criticized when I say, oh, I watched the State of the Union. I watched the January 6th hearings that started airing on Thursday night. I watched the original...
Criticized by who?
Conservatives online for saying, I can't believe you would spend your time watching that crap or whatever. I want to see them lie to my face. I want to see what they said. I want to understand the messaging and the language, the words they use, so that we can have an honest conversation about what they're up to.
It's rule number one of warfare. You've got to know what your enemy plans, and you've got to listen to them. As a survivor of the Holocaust said, when somebody persistently... cause for your destruction, sooner or later you should take them seriously. So you don't ignore them, you listen to them. We're talking to Morgan Zegers. This is America First One-on-One, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. ReliefFactor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain, me included. But it's not just Dr. G, it's people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain free like Relief Factor. Just those two words, pain-free, should be reason enough for you to order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. You deserve to know. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Call 800-500-8384 or just go to ReliefFactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Don't giggle. Why are you giggling at me? That's rude.
It's nice to be here. I love the studio.
All right. So let's go back to what I think is your most valuable contribution amongst the incredible multiplicity of things you're doing, Morgan. The stories of the victims of communism.
Mm-hmm.
I came to this because when I wrote my first book on terrorism, the one that really, I think, got me into the White House, Defeating Jihad, I sat down to write a book about what I taught to the military. So what is Al-Qaeda? Where does it come from? The Muslim Brotherhood, the history of jihad. And then my wife said, do you want anybody to actually read this book? You've got to explain your personal story, why you're so obsessed with these totalitarians, and how your family history has guided your studies. So why my parents suffering under first fascism and communism helped me understand who the jihadists are, just another form of totalitarianism. So that book and every book I've written since, I always open, whatever the book's about, I open with a story of how my family suffered. And wherever I go, it doesn't matter where I am, literally anywhere in America or in the world, if I meet somebody who's read one of my books, the only chapter they ever want to talk about, whichever book it is the chapter about my father being tortured by the secret police or what my family went through and so forth. This is how you connect. This is what the left understands, that you can have a message, but if you can't emotionally connect, if you can't speak to the heart of your audience, within 3 minutes, they're not paying attention. Will you share with us the power of these stories and maybe some of the people you spoke to? Who sticks out for you in your memory of the victims you've spoken to?
Of course. Well, there's so many layers to this.
Yeah.
First of all, yes, we need to be talking about emotion, but I need to address the most obvious thing. None of this information is even being shared in classrooms for the most part in America. And so not just the emotional element, but the basic facts
the
of
censorship.
The 20th century.
Yeah.
None of these stories, none of the history of these countries is happening, specifically how the left in each country rose to power, the promises that were made, how they got there. Maybe we hear about the death toll after, but it was just because some evil dictators came to power.
Yeah, because it was perverted. The socialist paradise wasn't implemented because the wrong people did it. In 42 countries, it failed 42 times.
Yeah. And so hearing firsthand from maybe somebody in Cuba who experienced Castro rise to power, or maybe his father did, because a lot of them are survivors or their family members, they'll talk about, well, Fidel Castro called himself a democratic humanitarian, and he said he was going to empower the working class and that he wasn't communist. And just hearing that blows your mind, right? Because he was a communist dictator in the end. But what really sticks to my mind, first of all, we filmed these down in Dallas. And so we're flying people from across the country down to the studio in Dallas, and they are taking time out of their day to talk about something that they've probably never spoken about before.
Yeah.
These are people we have to search for, find their stories of, and they are articulately put together with a lot of research and intention. One of them is a rooftop Korean whose family had come from Korea. They fought the communists, so they were militarily trained. And then in 1992, you had the race riots, similar to the 2020 Black
in
Lives
LA.
Matter riots.
Right.
And what the rooftop Koreans did as their communities were being looted, burned, the same way that happened in 2020, they got their guns from the community gun shop, they were handed out, and they protected their community. And they did what they had to do. And so we got someone who was there. We also, I'm really excited, the first episode is with She Van Fleet. Have you heard of her?
Yes, she's
trained
here in Virginia.
Up, yep, yeah. Trained up with the Red Guard under Mao's China. And her story is just fantastic. She connects the tactics of Mao and cultural Marxism and Marxism in general to the cultural Marxism we're experiencing today. I could continue to go on, but what's really important about this is that what happened in the past leads to problems that we're now facing, and we have to understand that in the current events perspective. One of my favorites is Jorge Ventura. He was part of the riot squad. Do you remember the group of young reporters that went to all the riots in 2020? His family had fought in the Civil War in El Salvador against the communists. So he talks about what it was like to fight alongside American soldiers in El Salvador against the communists, thanks to the support of Reagan. But then what happened, as chaos and turmoil started to take place, not only in El Salvador, but in the El Salvadorian communities in America, because they were brought into the country, and this is the hard question, they were brought into the country, and next thing you know, they start warring with Mexican cartel groups, with Mexican gangs, and that's how MS-13 was created in the country. They were deported back to a war-torn country in El Salvador, had the rise up of MS-13, and then now we see what we're dealing with the repercussions of that. And so to connect past to present in these important ways and understand what we're dealing with today actually is all starting decades ago, it's fascinating, and you don't hear it in the classrooms. And these emotional stories really do make you more appreciative for what we have here in this country. I will also say, it gets a little gruesome. I had been in the post-production process of the episodes, and after watching a few, I said, oh, we're going to need to go through and make child-friendly episodes. And so we have made a kid-friendly version on our website, thefreedomrecords.com.
Because of the things they're saying occurred in the countries they came from.
It's what they experience in the actual communist countries before coming here is just horrific. We have one from the Khmer Rouge killing fields. We have people from communist China in the slave torture re-education camps. I could go on about the horrific things. They talk about it in detail. We decided we want families to be able to watch these in their family dining room or in their family room after eating dinner, and so we're making a child-friendly section on the website.
Is it an uphill challenge? Because if you look at YouTube, for example, that 6 minutes is the maximum attention span. If you're doing a video, they say, oh, you can't be more than 6 minutes. So when you're sitting down with somebody for an hour, mm-hmm. how do you convert that into something that will have traction in today's media environment?
Well, we're hoping that we build the audience or build on the audience that we already have that is truly dedicated to learning more and understanding what we're up against. It's all about mindset. And so if you're willing to learn, you'll watch the whole thing. It is chock full of the entire hour is worth watching. I also was really inspired inspired because Sean Ryan, I had never done long form interviews, but then I saw his show featuring GWAT veterans and experiencing their entire hours long story. And I said, we could absolutely make this happen. So it's easy. The problem is when we put something like somebody escaped communist China's re-education camps, we will then get demonetized and censored. And they put a little mark saying China doesn't have re-education camps. So that's what we're up against with big tech.
Incredible. How many of those interviews have you done, Morgan?
15 in season one. So we're pretty excited. And that's at thefreedomrecords.com.
Freedomrecords.com. We're talking to the founder of Young Americans Against Socialism. You can follow her at morganzegers.com, Morgan Zegers on Twitter. And support this lady with fabulous, decorative, patriotic things like this massive handmade flag behind me at zegersfreedomflags.shop. That's zegersfreedomflags.shop. If you enjoyed this show, support those who make it possible. Great patriots like Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, the pillow that never gets hot, never loses shape. Over 51 million sold already. President Trump loves them. My whole team uses them. I'm going to take my travel pillow wherever I go because it is that good. He has over 150 products now. Use my name and you'll get up to 66% off. Now $90 off the sheepskin lined MyPillow memory foam slippers. Treat yourself today and get a good night's sleep. That's mypillow.com, promo code GORKA, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, mypillow.com. We are coming to you from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. But not just me, people like Debrin from Massachusetts. This is Debrin's story. I just started taking a Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That should be your story. There's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for the paltry sum of $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less, taking morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debrin, and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Go today to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That number again? 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Okay, well, this hour has absolutely flown by. I'm going to ask you a very practical question. I have a very short temper. I don't suffer fools gladly. I'm sure you are far nicer than I am. Where do you begin when somebody, especially a younger American, expresses to you that But socialism is cool, mm-hmm. and it's nice, and it's about equality. Where do you even begin?
I'll give you two statistics. YouGov in 2020 did a poll. 70% of young Americans said that they would vote for a socialist. That same group, 5 to 6% said that they trust the government.
All right, explain that. Explain why that's a little ironic.
So that's why I'm hopeful in this, and that's why I always have a smile on my face, because it means that 70% of young people are not communists trying to take over the economy and put it in the hands of the government. They're being lied to, though.
They don't even understand that if I like socialism, well, guess what? That means you've got to trust the government.
Yeah, they're being completely lied to. They're told that capitalist Nordic Europe with a social democracy and major welfare programs is socialism. But when you read the Constitution and the plans of the Democratic Socialists of America, of the Justice Democrats, of people like AOC, it's actual economic socialism. And so I do believe that my generation is capable of hearing those facts and determining that information in their own minds of, oh, wow. Okay, so I don't want socialism. Maybe I'm a little more liberal. And you know what? I'll work with them on that, okay? Maybe if they lean a little bit more to the left, I'm willing to work with them on that. But they at least need to understand the importance of economic independence instead of tossing it all over to the government. Socialism, the main problem isn't just that the economy fails. It's about control.
Yeah.
It's all about control.
Given how much you work, traveling the country, the products you push out there, are you seeing some positive signs, especially after COVID? I think COVID, a lot of people woke up to what the schools were teaching. Are you seeing some positive indications?
I am. I think the future of the country is strong. It's just a generational approach. And you have to understand that. This is not a 1-2 fix. This is not going to be a fix after the 2022 midterms. Of course, we need to fight in every election. But this is generational. I consider myself Generation Zero, and I'm going to raise a family of patriotic, responsible citizens. And we all need to get back to our primal and societal roles in our country, in the world, what we especially do as Christians. We need to get back to those primal roles and make sure that we are taking care of ourselves and our families first, and then it will be generational to fix the country.
All we need is to clone a few thousand Morgan Zegers. Elon Musk, where are you when we need you? Do something useful. Forget that Twitter garbage. Clone this lady. In the meantime, follow her at Morgan Zegers on Twitter, morganzegers.com. Support her. Buy one of these amazing flags. Get one of the Second Amendment ones or one of the antiqued ones at Zegers. Z-E-G-E-R-S, ZegersFreedomFlags.shop. You can also follow her at TPUSA. And also, most importantly, she's the newest faculty member here at Salem. Listen to her podcast and the FreedomRecords.com history of the victims of communism. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It is great to be back in front of the microphone. Yes, I am back from crazy California, where I went for a graduation ceremony in the hot, hot sun. If you can tell, if you're watching on video, I do look a little bit like a lobster today. I am very grateful to Chris Stigall for standing in for me yesterday, a man who does almost as much radio as Jennifer Horn. God bless you, and thank you for sticking to the America First message here on the show that we host every single day, Monday to Friday, for the Salem News Network. Now, before we get on to the news of the day, and there is a lot of news to cover, can I share with you my experience over the weekend in one of the most prestigious universities, not in America, but in the world? It is Stanford University. It was thousands of students. The students were in a good mood. They came in dressed in all kinds of different kind of fancy dress. The swim team were in their Speedos. Yes, they were wearing their Speedos. One individual was dressed up in a dinosaur suit. Must have been rather hot in the sun. But the atmosphere was fun. Then we had the speeches. And the speeches at Stanford are a window onto what we face in America today. The guest speaker by Zoom was the CEO of Netflix. He wasn't even there because allegedly he had contracted COVID the day before. Everybody was most amused that the CEO of Netflix was Skyped in by video. And he gave the usual speech. I'll talk about it on my Newsmax show at the weekend. Where he focused, of course, on what? I'll give you one guess. What would the CEO of Netflix discuss at the Stanford commencement speech? You got it. Yes. Climate change. That is the priority. Climate change. But the most disturbing aspect is not what he said, or the president of Harvard, but it was the blessing by the reverend, who is the head of religious and spiritual life at Harvard, and then the rabbi who closed the ceremonies. The reverend opened the ceremony with these words. We have the video of the rabbi. We'll share that with you momentarily. But first, let me talk about the person who is the dean for religious and spiritual life, the reverend, of course, female, Dr. Tiffany Steinwert. Her qualifications, let's start with her qualifications. Tiffany Steinwert, PhD, became Dean for Religious and Spiritual Life at Stanford University in 2019. Ask yourself in the next few minutes, what is missing from this resume? She previously served as Dean of Hendricks Chapel at Syracuse University and Dean for Religious and Spiritual Life at Wellesley College. Dean Steinwert brings with her experience as an ordained clergywoman, administrator, and a leader in spiritual life in higher education. At Stanford, Steinwert nurtures religious, spiritual, moral, and ethical education for students, staff, and faculty. She aims to build relationships amidst difference and to cultivate healthy contemplative practices for the transformation of self and world. Wow. Trained as a practical theologian, her scholarly work explores emerging pedagogies for interreligious education, chaplaincy in higher education, and contemplative studies. Next is a full recitation of her qualifications, but I think you get the point. In this whole page at Stanford EDU, the dean for religious and spiritual life doesn't mention God. Not once. Or Jesus. Which is strange, isn't it? Well, listen to how she opened the ceremony. This is her blessing for the commencement at Stanford. In that spirit of honor and blessing that we have just heard, I invite us to be together. Not to pray, to be together. Poised at a crossroad between the past and the future, we pause, not only to savor the sense of accomplishment and joy that is this occasion, but also to fix our eye on the horizon of life breaking before us. Strange choice of words. In the days to come, may we hold fast to the intellectual curiosity we have nurtured here, seeking knowledge and excellence, not only for ourselves, but for the sake of a common good. May we build relationships marked by dignity and respect, cultivating diversity and expanding the radius of our empathy. Oh, I love expanding the radius of my empathy. That compassion becomes for us the very ground of our being. And above all, may we seek to do more than simply survive. May we seek to thrive, to grow in unexpected and unforeseen ways. Now more than ever, the world needs communities of hope and resilience to forge a new way. So may the fierce dedication and the patient perseverance that has brought us to this moment carry us forward to love the world and to change it. Amen. Again, where's Jesus? How are you a reverend anything if you can't mention God? But the common good. What is the common good? And why should we mark our relationships with dignity? Why? Why on earth? Can you explain the reason? Then let's listen to Rabbi Lori Hahn Tapper, allegedly related to Mr. Tapper at CNN, according to somebody sitting in the bleachers behind me. Her ending prayer, well, it's not a prayer, is even more disturbing. Play it, Eric.
In my tradition, when a person is learning a sacred text and completes it in its entirety, they recite a prayer called the Hadran. This prayer is a love letter to both the text and the person who completed it. I love this prayer because it emphasizes the learning is an unending and continuous partnership between the person and the subject matter. Just as you have been changed by the lessons and knowledge you have learned here at Stanford, Stanford has been transformed by your presence and your engagement. And so, as this chapter in your book of life ends, I offer you this blessing inspired by the prayer from my tradition. Hadran Alach v'Hadrach Alan. May you be blessed to return to the lessons you learned, the friendships you forged, the new things you tried, the fantastic failures you let become your teachers, the new talents you uncovered, the discoveries you celebrated, the questions with which you wrestled, and the values you honed. And may they be blessed to return to you. Da'atan Alach v'da'atach Alan.
Yeah, you get the message. Twice in that alleged prayer, the quote-unquote rabbi who is wearing a yarmulke, because if you talk to Orthodox people, a woman wearing a yarmulke is rather peculiar, said, "My tradition." Do you mean your faith? Do you mean Judaism, Rabbi Han Tapper, the foundation of Western Judeo-Christian civilization? It's not a tradition. It's your faith. What are you afraid of? That's the problem. The lack of God in our institutions. This is America First. Join us on the Salem News Network.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.